This is First Thoughts, 13 before 6 and 55 degrees. And we were already the warm spot at 52, so. Well, our question of the morning is, what was your highlight of the weekend? We've got one already, so let's hear it. Coming in at 715-396-1670. Of course, I think our record is 12 highlights. Let's see if we can top that. See if we can get to 15 today.
Good morning, Mark. So the highlight of my weekend was we had a birthday party for two of my grandchildren, two of Adam's children, his oldest and his youngest. The oldest turned 9 in May, and then the youngest will turn 2 on the 27th. But yesterday, while we were there, she was wandering and just playing. But then as I was listening to her, as she was singing the B-I-B-L-E, and it just tickled this grandpa. You have a great day. Bye.
All right, that's Keith and Owen, our friend. He's with us from the start of the show. Appreciate it, Keith. Thanks for sharing. That's his highlight of the weekend. What's yours? 715-396-1670. I'm going to save and share mine with Caleb after 7:15. I think I'm going to do a personal highlight and then a family highlight. So I'll wait and share that then. In the meantime, today in history, 1775, George Washington became Commander-in-Chief of the Continental Army. Also, on this day in 1996, jazz singer Ella Fitzgerald died in California.
It was just one of those things.
Ella was 78. I think, wasn't it Ella Fitzgerald on the old, they had Memorex, these commercials, and then you'd have the glass shatter, and it was like, is it live or is it Memorex? And it was shattering even with the Memorex tape. Yeah, cassette tape. Anyhow, also on this day in 2012, tightrope walker Nick Willenda walked across a high wire over Niagara Falls. That's pretty scary. Willenda's death-defying stunt 14 years ago took 25 minutes to complete. And in 2014, radio personality Casey Kasem, one of the best, died at the age of 82. Our morning devotion from Bob Goff's Live in Grace, Walk in Love, titled God Makes Mountains to Dazzle Us and Friends to Love Us. Job 12:7-9 says, ask the animals and they'll teach you, or the birds in the sky and they'll tell you, or speak to the earth and it'll teach you, or let the fish in the sea inform you. Which of all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? Goff says, it's amusing to watch little kids hard at work with a box of crayons. Their tongues stick out a little while they concentrate on staying inside the lines or make a messy explosion of colors and swirls. Regardless of the style, it seems every little kid runs up to mom or dad when they're done waving the picture in front of them. They want to know if they did a good job. Their work feels like an extension of them, and they want to be praised for it. He's so right, isn't he? Yeah. When God created Mount Everest and the beach in my backyard, says Goff, he was showing us a little part of himself. Out of the overflow of all the joy and life within him, he threw stars in the sky and told the sun to rise every morning. He made hippos and mice and giraffes and kangaroos with pouches for more kangaroos. I think he wanted to instill in us a sense of awe and wonder when we see these things. God wasn't looking for our approval when he did these things. He was hoping maybe we'd look to the one responsible for the beauty and see how he delights in creation and in us. Goff says, since God isn't here with us in physical form, sometimes it's easy to feel like he's distant. It can be hard to know how he feels about us or what his character is really like. Goff says, I think that's why God painted parts of himself into creation. He said he made human beings in his image, each of us reflecting a little part of who he is. If you don't feel like you can see God very clearly today, look up and look around. He hid parts of himself in everything he made. You hold part of his essence. Your friends do too. So do the mountains and lakes and trees. Breathe it in. Take it in today. Give thanks to God for the countless ways he chose to dazzle us with his creative expressions in the world. Today's question, what attributes of God do you see as you orient yourself to nature and God's creation? Yes, what attributes of God do you see as you orient yourself to nature and God's creation? For June 15th, we've got some information to pass along, some celebrating, hearing from Anniversary Bob in Rice Lake. He lets us know about Caleb Weber. It says, happy 7th anniversary to Caleb and Cecily. Yeah, his daughter and son-in-law. Bob says, congratulations on the birth of your first son, Daniel Robert Weber, on Saturday. I said Weber, it's Weber. Yeah, my apologies. We are celebrating you all day. Yeah, a lot of celebrating going on in that Lindner Weber family. All right, also, looking back to Saturday, I don't think we knew about this on Friday, so we're going to tell you now that 2 days late, happy 33rd anniversary, Mark and Heidi. Mark and Heidi Weber. What an amazing gift to have your grandson born on your first grandson on your anniversary. Many blessings to you and your family. I'm just guessing that is Caleb, Bob's son-in-law's parents. So putting that together. I'm a college graduate. Also, a third one from Bob. He's just busy. We're going to get to 60 just with Bob during June. Tony Nord's anniversary was yesterday. Says Tony's the youth pastor and his wife Michelle are amazing leaders of the youth group at Maranatha in Rice Lake. They have four kids and are the most caring shepherds for our church family. Sounds like you're well served and well taken care of. By my count, the most highlights we ever got for one Monday was 12. So here is the second one we've received from Bob in Rice Lake.
Good morning, Mark. The highlight of my weekend was that we had a family reunion for our large family over the weekend. Since our parents have passed away around 9 years ago, we have been intentional about keeping our family together. This past Saturday, we met at a house in the Sparta area. This is our 8th consistent year for gathering, and every one of our 8 remaining siblings left were present for this gathering, plus some of their children. Our family is far from perfect, and but it was quite a chaotic day. But the love that was shared throughout our family is immeasurable. Then on Saturday morning while I was there, I received the news from my daughter that she brought our first grandson into the world at 3:11 a.m. on Saturday morning. The joy that was felt throughout our gathering was indescribable. I'm still flying this morning, and it's 2 days later. Thank you for allowing us to share the goodness of our God over the airways. Blessings to you all.
Ah, that's what a great highlight there. Extraordinary. And then the birth of your grandson. Congratulations. And in fact, that was part of to Caleb and Cecily as well.
And a drive to the left.
Jeff Levering on Brewers TV.
What was your highlight of the weekend? We'd love to hear it in your own voice. So let us know, 715-396-1670. We heard from Keith and Owen, Bob and Rice Lake earlier. I'm going to go personal and family. Personal was on my birthday, getting a chance on Friday to visit some of my kids at their campground and take a 3-mile hike with Elena walking the dogs. That was the personal highlight, just a great chance to talk and walk. And the family highlight, our daughter Grace got engaged Saturday night. I'd kind of let the cat out of the bag maybe a couple weeks ago that it was coming here on the show. And so
At least you weren't wrong.
At least I wasn't wrong. Yeah, Travis Ziegler, her fiance. And so we love him and excited for both of them.
There you go. Well, family highlight for me as well, too. My highlight of the weekend. And again, we'd love to hear from you. What's yours? It can be something simple, 715-396-1670. Just to see family gathered from really all over different parts of the country to celebrate my grandma in southwestern Iowa, her 90th birthday, and she's doing well. And we had folks, a lot of folks coming from even as far away as Colorado and people coming. It wasn't necessarily a long trip. A lot of people maybe turning around in a day or two to get back to their jobs and family and such. But just to see so many people saying, hey, we need to make it a priority to be there and to celebrate grandma together. So I just loved seeing that. And again, always great to see the family down there in Iowa. We see them maybe a couple times a year. And so great to be able to be with them and celebrate my grandma's 90th.
Congratulations. That's awesome. Well, America's 250th birthday is edging ever closer.
Indeed. And on July 4th, a time capsule is going to be buried in Philadelphia's Independence National Historical Park to be opened on America's 500th birthday, July 4th, 2276.
That's crazy, right? The project mandated by Congress 10 years ago, aims to capture a cross-section of American life and culture to communicate with future generations.
So the time capsule will offer representation from all states, territories, and Washington, D.C. Communities across the country are submitting items with an emphasis on grassroots involvement.
Preserving the contents poses a unique challenge. A spokesperson from the National Institute of Standards and Technology, known as NIST, says that most time capsules fail due to water damage.
After considering various designs, the team settled on a one-ton stainless steel cylinder to ensure durability and integrity for 250 years.
Contents already mailed to NIST include a piece of West Virginia coal shaped like the state and fabric from the Wright Flyer sent by Ohio.
The Library of Congress has vetted submissions to avoid items that could decay. The capsule will contain an iPhone 17, Native American artwork, essays from students, coins, and a Coca-Cola bottle.
A high-tech addition from the Library of Congress includes synthetic DNA encoding, digital versions of foundational documents like the Declaration of Independence and a recording of the Star-Spangled Banner, all compactly stored in a thimble-sized vessel.
I'm wondering who has to heft that one-ton vessel to get it buried.
Wow.
Very interesting stuff as we come up to the 4th of July and America's 250th, and we've got some fun things going on here at WWIB that you will be hearing about very soon as well.
Well, the Race Across America begins tomorrow.
It does indeed. So this is an endurance event billed on its website as, quote, the world's toughest bicycle race. And again, it kicks off June 16th, which is tomorrow.
So Race Across America, it's known as RAM, R-A-A-M, competitors, which began in 1982, will travel 3,000 miles from Oceanside, California to Atlantic City, New Jersey, crossing 12 states.
In addition to teams of 2, 4, and 8, a number of solo riders are included on the 2026 race roster.
Yeah, the solo racers who will ride 250 to 350 miles per day, wow, will have a maximum of 12 days to complete their journey.
Goodness. Not only has this Race Across America proved to be one of the most challenging races in the world, no kidding, but has become a huge platform for racers to raise awareness and money for charities of their choice.
Yeah, the racers have raised millions since its inception in the early 80s.
In 1982, four individuals raced from the Santa Monica Pier in Los Angeles to the Empire State Building in New York City.
Covered by national television, the race captivated the public's imagination.
Relay teams were introduced in 1992 and quickly became the most popular and fastest growing segment of the race. Nice to have teammates when you're trying to go all the way across America on a bike.
They had the annual century ride around here. It was a couple weeks ago. I know my friend Joel covered the 100 miles. 100 miles. That seems like a lot in a day. 250 to 350. Wow.
This is incredible. An incredible feat of endurance. And I love that they are giving back to causes, to charities that matter to them.
Yeah, for sure.
Very, very cool, and best wishes to everyone who is taking part. Can't fool you guys. Congratulations to Darla from Eau Claire, who heard that June Dairy Month cow go moo, and she was caller number 5.
All right, well, the WIB Wake Up Show, WWIB. By the way, Caleb's mentioned a couple of times, I did earlier, the neighbor's coffee truck out there, and so, yeah, enjoying one of their beverages, the Two Spoons. It's the creamy cold brew, frosted mint cold brew, and dark chocolate drizz, vanilla sweet cream swirled in, so highly recommend it. Four things you didn't know yesterday here on the WIB Wake Up Show on WWIB, where we are family. One of those things, at 3, Delaware has the fewest number of counties in the U.S. Rhode Island and Hawaii are next with 5 apiece.
And by contrast, Wisconsin has, what, 72 counties?
Yeah.
So just 3 counties in the great state of Delaware. Four things you didn't know yesterday. In 2001, the Billy Bob Teeth Company took legal action against another maker of novelty teeth. Claiming copyright infringement, Billy Bob Teeth was awarded over $142,000 by the producers of Bubba Teeth. Billy Bob Teeth and Bubba Teeth.
There you go. It's quite the battle between those two. This one, be careful out there. In the U.S., each year, roughly 450 people die after falling out of bed. So be careful.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Four things you didn't know yesterday. One more. The cost to build a single parking space is about $8,000. The same space in a parking deck or garage costs about $25,000, and in an underground parking structure, upward of $40,000. So if you're in the cities like I was yesterday and wondering why it costs so much for parking, they're probably still trying to pay back that $40,000 it cost them to build one space.
I guess so.
There you go. A few things you didn't know yesterday, 4, in fact, here on the WIB Wake Up Show.